Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds. And they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
One is Mark and John's the other. They're just friends. They are not lovers. It's two old queens. It's two old queens. They're just sassy, not that mean. Two old queens. It's two old queens. Shut up.
Hello.
Welcome to Two Old Queens. I'm John Flynn.
I'm Mark Rennie.
Mark, I am so excited for our guest this week. Please let everyone know who is joining us.
Well, she's a writer who's worked on Brooklyn Nine-Nine and Billy on the Street. It's Trisha McAlpin.
Yay.
Hi.
Coming in hot.
Bringing the enthusiasm.
Thrilled to be here.
Good. That's what
I
we
am.
Like.
Oh my goodness.
Any break from the routine, I say, is a nice thing to do.
I agree. No, this is a delight. Thank you for having me.
Of course. Thank you for being here. Trish, I'm dying to know. What do you have, like, a go-to karaoke song?
Any Britney Spears has been my
really?
Go-to.
Okay.
Yeah.
And this was
like
before.
Womanizer.
Womanizer.
Oh, way before anyone wanted to free her.
People were like, keep her where she is.
Yes.
Yeah, she's better this way.
No.
Oh, what is it about, like, a Britney Spears that you think that you're so drawn to?
Easy lyrics.
Sure. It's not vocally text. You're not like, here's a Celine or a Whitney.
Can I do this?
No, it's like womanizer, womanizer, womanizer. Like a lot of repeating things and like
I guess
people,
that's true.
Yeah.
Work bitch.
Simple idea.
Seems doable.
Yes.
But also everybody knows it. Everyone's probably on board.
Yes, on board is huge because I like a group. I don't need the attention on me. Like I want everyone to join in.
Do you prefer like the Koreatown ones when you're like in the little room by yourselves?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh, 100%. Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, I went to that like Dimples one once.
Oh,
not,
yeah.
Not
no.
a good experience.
That's in like Universal City, right? That one?
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. Where everyone's like, well, there's probably like agents here. I better like really.
this crawling with industry tonight.
Because the best thing about karaoke is when there's stakes, you know?
Yes. Like, yes, yes. Yeah. No, I prefer a private room for most things, especially karaoke.
Of course.
The most intimate thing one could do.
I used to always be like nervous before I do karaoke, but then you go and watch, you're like, oh, you could barely hear the person singing anyways.
Yeah. And just about everyone's terrible. Right.
Yeah. It's just noise.
It's just like an excuse to bop around.
I just want to bop.
Yeah.
I always liked, maybe this is a bit indulgent of me, but I always liked singing Total Eclipse of the Heart.
That's a big one. That's a Jim Steinman. Those are long. That's like a
I know that's
almost
what
like
I mean.
A three-act play that you're doing.
Yeah. Well, I like I to tell a story when I get up there.
I went to some friends and he just thought, oh, I'll just do American Pie. And it was all eight verses of American Pie and the karaoke thing. And I was
that's
like,
deep.
We gotta go. Come on, let's wrap this up. We need the American Idol cut of this song if we're gonna do this.
A friend of mine and I we went to like this karaoke bar in Pasadena, like It was at the time Moby's play was huge. You couldn't avoid it. It was everywhere. So we're like, let's get up. We requested to sing Moby's Porcelain, which is like this really downbeat, slow, not a jam, I would say, but it was like, but the guy, the VJ, as they're called, switched our song to Bon Jovi's It's My Life.
That's a big switch.
And we didn't know the verses, but we committed to those choruses.
You gotta commit to the chorus.
Living on a Prayer is a good karaoke track. I've done
that. Do you have a go-to one, John?
Not really. I don't like karaoke that much. I don't really enjoy it, which most people are like, really? That's weird.
Because you have such a good voice.
Oh, well, thank you, Mark. It's because no one's listening when I do karaoke.
Oh, I see.
Everyone's just bopping around so loud. Why'd I vocalize this morning if you're just going to bop around and not pay attention?
Why are you
to
drinking that
one man show instead? Yeah, I bring my tracks to be like, we'll start with the second one, we'll see how it goes.
I see. It's like an audition piece.
We've got ballads, one disc of ballads.
It is brutal when you look out and everyone's like flipping through the book looking for their song instead of picking.
Yeah,
that's brutal,
right? That sounds like a real karaoke disaster. And speaking of karaoke disasters.
Today, that was a really good switch. That's a good pivot.
Thank you. Today, we're talking about the house bunny. John, what's the deal with the house bunny?
Mark, let me tell you the deal with the house bunny. It was directed by Fred Wolf and written by Kirsten Smith and Karen McCullough Lutz. And Playboy bunny Shelley Darlingson has lived a life of luxury at Hugh Hefner's mansion. Disaster strikes, however, when Shelley turns 27 and is deemed to be too old to be a bunny. Kicked out into the real world, the girl ambles into a college campus and tries to join a sorority. Finding a sorority made up of geeky, awkward girls, Zeta Alpha Zeta, Shelley teaches them the art of attracting boys as only a Playboy bunny can. It stars Anna Faris, Colin Hanks, Emma Stone, Kat Dennings, Catherine McPhee, Rumor Willis, Hugh Hefner, and Beverly D'Angelo. It was released on August 22nd, 2008 and made $70.4 million on a budget of $25 million. Reviews were mixed, but Anna Faris was pretty much universally praised. Nathan Lee of the New York Times said the movie puts a cheerful spin on its many cliches. This particular wheel hasn't been reinvented, but at least it gets a nice fresh coat of bubblegum pink paint and a star to pilot it with aplomb. And John Anderson Variety wrote, "The House Bunny is a blissfully broad comedy that should catapult Anna Faris into a singular kind of stardom." And that is the deal with The House Bunny.
So, Trisha, we asked you to pick a movie. Why The House Bunny?
Well, The House Bunny is a little dear to my heart. When I first moved to LA, we didn't have cable or anything yet. So we went and bought a couple of DVDs at the video store. And one of them was House Bunny. And I would we were sleeping on an air mattress, in front of the TV. And I would just play House Bunny, all the time. It was just
Had you seen it before when you bought it?
No, I never.
Wow.
I really just saw the cover and was like, what is this? And then, I really fell in love with Anna Faris in the movie. I think she's so funny and talented, and it is, simple-ish plot. It's an afternoon kind of movie to me.
Sure.
And it's just it was a comfort for me during a intense transition in my life.
Sure.
Had you watched it since you were no longer sleeping on an air mattress?
I definitely had watched it, but not recently. So watching it with the eyes of I'm going to have to talk about this was like an awakening of some sort.
Really?
Yeah, a little. Sure. I was like, oh, but still very much a fan of Anna Faris's performance and many of the jokes in the movie.
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
Yes.
So it sounds like you're still a fan, you would say.
Still a fan. I would say I'm still a fan. Yeah.
Do you remember what the other movies you bought were?
No, I literally don't. I don't at all. I only remember that. It was probably something Eugene liked.
Gross.
Were they part of a pack or was it just individual? Sometimes it'd be three DVDs for $5 or something like that.
Oh yeah. It wasn't together, but it was a bin. It was you sift through it.
I saw TikTok. Heard of this? It's a social media app.
Heard of it.
Where like it was like a date night at like, but you go to like Walmart essentially, and like you both pick a movie for the each other by looking in like the $5 movie bin, and then like you buy them a snack from, you know, a cheap, and then you buy them clothes like to hang out and watch the movie in. And like it's so all cute. For under like 20, and it, honestly, I was like, that is adorable. And I would love to do that.
I love that.
Right?
Buying them clothes is fun.
Right? I think this would be comfy.
Yeah.
John, had you seen The House Bunny? What's your experience?
I had not seen House Bunny before last night, and but I knew it was a movie that Trisha really liked, so I was like excited to see it. I thought it was delightful. I thought it was really fun, really sweet. It a little bit, I think, runs out of steam, but overall, I think it's super funny. I think, yeah, Anna Faris is great. I'm so glad that she like got the opportunity to make this movie, because it feels like it just fits her so well, and it's just so plays to her strengths in a way. Like I sort of always liked her, but I'd never, there was nothing about her that specifically made me like, I didn't have like a strong opinion about her in any way. Like I don't know what I've seen her in that would make, I would be like, oh, that's, she's great in that. Or
had you never seen the scary movies?
I have not seen any of those movies. Yeah, so I thought it was great in that way. I know Adam Sandler was the producer of this movie, or his company was. And I was like, oh, this kind of is the reverse of an Adam Sandler movie, where the guys in this movie are basically wallpaper. Like, they're good. Like, Colin Hanks is good, and all the other, you know, the romantic interests in them are good, but they don't have much to do. Like, Colin Hanks could be replaced by, like a well-trained dog, and it would still work. You know what I mean? But it's like, oh, this is like an Adam Sandler comedy.
Now you sound like Chet.
Where it's like, oh, there's tons of great parts for men, and then the women are just there to be like, hey, mm-hmm. I'm cute. And this was this was sort of the flip of that, which I really liked and appreciated that. And I thought that was really fun.
So, yeah, I'd love to hear that. I'm so glad.
Yeah, so I was looking forward to seeing this, and it did not disappoint. I thought it was very entertaining and fun and cute. And yeah, some of it is a little kind of like, we wouldn't make that joke today. But yeah, it was great. And also, it's a cast that you're like, oh, this person's in this. This person's in it. It definitely has
pretty stacked.
Rumor Willis, what? McPhee? Are you
they
kidding
got
me?
Her.
So yeah, I very much enjoyed this movie. I thought it was great. Good. How about you, Mark? What is your history with the House Bunny?
Well, I hated that I hadn't seen it earlier. I've been watching too many reality shows, sorry. But I thought it was like super fun, and it's so fun to see like a lead comedy, a woman be like the weirdo in a movie. Like, and you still like her, and like, it's just a testament to the power of Anna Faris. It's just, I agree with you. It's a fun, great time at the movie. I thought it was delightful. I put it on. I forgot I had to watch it last night. So I was already eating dinner, and I was like, oh, I've been binging like the latest season of Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. I'm like, oh, it's starting to get good with Erica stuff. And I was like, oh, but then I went, oh, God damn it, I have to watch The House Bunny. But then, so that was my mindset going into it. But then I put it on, and it just like, it's like a bubblegum foam. It's just is like, oh, it's just so like effervescent. It's like a cold Sprite. This is all like, you know what I mean?
Keep going.
Yes. That's exactly what it's like.
Such a fun, weird time capsule too, of like when those like the three playmates show up and you're like, oh yeah.
I was like, girls, why do I know their names?
I remember the girls as the girls next door. Like, oh, there was this weird time when like it was cool, like Playboy was cool again. It has a little bit, you know, I'm like, well, they have like that E show ran for like years and years, I think. Mm-hmm. So I had a great time watching. It flew right by too. It does get a little slow, like that last 20 minutes or so, but it's also fun to see like multiple makeovers. Like, oh, they swing the dowdy girls go like, you know, sexy or trampy, whatever. But then they also like then adapt it to their own style. And I really like that element of it.
I'm so delighted. I felt so nervous that you guys would like, I don't know. It's like a little private thing. Like, I don't really know many people who like are such huge fans of this movie. So I was like, what are they going to think? And I'm so
I think
happy
it's considered
that it
made like
you
a,
happy.
It made me very, it's considered, I believe it's considered like a cult film. Like it's like, it has like sound
too. I think to me, it's one of those movies where every so often someone will bring it up and like half of the people in the room like won't have seen it. But the other half who have been like, I love that movie.
Yeah.
Like it's one of those like no one's like it doesn't have the status of something like Mean Girls or you know what I mean?
Right.
But the people who have seen it, who know it are like, oh, my God, this House Bunny is great. And like back to what I was saying earlier about Anna Faris is I feel like, I mean, poor her, but I feel like she's like a character actress who is gorgeous and does look like a Playboy bunny. And so it's, right. I feel like must be a struggle for her. It's like, she's really funny and goofy, but everyone probably just wants to be pretty. You know what I mean? Like she doesn't get the opportunities to sort of like, it. Like if she, again, if she were a man, she would be starring in a whole bunch of comedies or more comedies would be written for her. But I feel like she's, again, like I'm so glad she made this movie because it just seems to yes. really showcase her talent so well and her strengths and what she's able to do in such a great way.
She had six seasons on Mom. I don't think she's not hurting.
She's not hurting, but you know.
Yeah, I feel like she like this movie, I think came out around the same time as like Seth Rogen had made like 1,000 yeah, movies like yeah. this or whatever, you know? And it's like, she got this one and it is so good. I mean, like, it's just like every joke is so well pulled and like her like voice that she does and like everything, it's just so good and like funny. And like, I am like afraid of sex generally. And like the fact that I love a movie about a Playboy bunny is just so funny right. to me. Like, but it's like, she's just so endearing and like lovely and funny. Like, I love it.
It's also crazy to think that this movie made $70 million,
yes. right?
Which is insane. Like that would, that's an impossibility now for a mid-budget comedy to make any sort of money in a theater, no less.
Right.
And that it's not like a famous hit or whatever. Like, right. And it made yeah. $70 million. Yeah.
It did okay.
Yeah. Like...
Well, Tricia, as you may or may not know, we are looking for the gayest movie ever made. So we have a complex and Byzantine scoring system with which to judge them. So we're going to go through a ton of categories. Now, at one point, you are going to come up with a category and it will be added to the wheel. Does that make any sense right now? No, probably not, but it will by the time we get to it. So don't worry about it. God, relax. Quit asking me how the wheel works. So this is our current top five rankings of the gayest movies ever made. So number 5 with an 89.70% is The Apple. Number 4 with an 89.81%, The Rocky Horror Picture Show. Number 3 with a 90.37%, Madonna, Truth or Dare. Number 2 with a 92.99%, The Bride and Frankenstein. And still reigning champ with a 94.83% is Female Trouble.
All right, so Tricia, now I just as a how would you guess House Bunny is going to do now before we get into it? Any predictions?
I would hope that it cracks like the top 50% or top 75% maybe.
Okay.
Maybe. Is that too? I mean, I
no.
definitely think it's like a very heteronormative
sure,
movie or
in some
whatever.
Ways, yeah.
I should say this. Here's a bar for you. This is our second Happy Madison movie. The first one right. we did was I Now Pronounce You Chuck and Larry, and oh, that got a 28.98%, okay. and it's currently in 106th place out of 114.
Okay. I think we can beat that.
I think we could beat that.
I really
too.
Hope we do.
I hope so.
All right, the system is broken if we don't. I'll say that right now.
And we should say you are here for the debut of our newly updated version 5.0 scoring system,
tweaks,
which has been
yeah.
few, there's been a few tweaks. So buckle up.
Oh,
all right.
That's exciting.
It
okay.
is exciting. So our first group of categories are the canon categories. So for each of these, we're going to give it a score between 0 and 100. So, and then we'll take the average of all three of our scores. All right. So Tricia, on a scale of 0 to 100, how would you rate the House Bunny in actual gay characters? Is there anyone who's actually
starting off with the tough one?
That's the yeah. tough one. Isn't it sad that that's tough for most movies?
Yes.
When yeah. you got to throw a curveball. Yeah. Sadly, I think it's the one which is meant to be like a trans prostitute in the jail cell, which is like a terrible representative. Like it's
right.
we're starting
really
off on
yes.
a rough note here, I would say.
There's that.
Yeah.
I was wondering if there's one of the girls in the sorority, Carrie May. They didn't quite say she was the one like who wore a lot of flannel.
Right.
And so I was like, yes. oh, I think her, and you know, she had overalls at a certain point. I was like, oh, she might turn out to be a lesbian, but that never happened.
And she flirts with guys at the bar.
She does flirt with guys. Yes. I mean, she's terrible at it. And her
Carrie May did
talking about, yeah.
She was one of my favorites though.
Yeah.
She was very funny.
I thought. She was great.
There's one thing when she's running, when they have to go dance at the old age home, and they just show her like she has this weird run where her head is like propelled like a raptor or something, and she just runs across the dance floor. It's she's very good. I forget the actress's name.
Dana
her name
Goodman.
Was Dana Goodman. Yeah,
she's brilliant, a genius, I would say.
Yeah, she was super, because also like she is really tall, and when she did that run, she like ducked down.
It, so it really was such made a me peculiar laugh. Visual.
That would just be like that was great.
I would say, I don't, this isn't a, I was going to say this is to the movie's credit, but it shouldn't be that. I was surprised that there weren't more gay panic jokes, or more, considering it's a Happy Madison movie from like the right. mid-2000s. Right. So that was nice.
I'm sure they were pitched in the room, and Anna Faris and the writers were like, maybe, let's think about it.
Yes, I like the writers really are to be credited for that. I think they're yes. very talented. But yeah, I don't think there's many, zero maybe? Maybe the
I thought for a while that Marvin, who was sort of like the houseboy at the right. Playboy Mansion, I thought he might be, but then they had this weird thing of there's like an evil woman in the mansion who
an
was
evil
like
centerfold.
Manipulating him by like tweaking his nipples.
Yes.
Which
I was like, is that a relationship or is right. that just like
she's like, this is your fetish and I'm just gonna take advantage yes. of it. Yeah.
So the question mark on Marvin. But yeah, out of 100, I mean, I guess I would say like, to be generous, like 5 or something.
A 5.
Just for the question marks on Marvin and sure. others. But no one, yeah. no one, you know.
Yeah, no vocalized. One comes out and says, I'm gay. Yes. I'm going to give it a 10, sort of for the same. I feel like, I think like if they made the movie now, then they probably would have had, you know, Carrie May be gay. You know what I mean? Like, I think they probably would yes. have done that a little
right. more. I wonder if there are lesbian sororities. There must be somewhere.
There have to be. There
have to be.
Absolutely.
Yes. They're gay rugby know. Teams. There have to be lesbian sororities.
Sure. I was looking at a gay rugby account just the other day on Instagram. That was fun. Oh, that's
not at all surprising.
You're a fan of rugby?
They're gay rugby players? Interesting. I'll give it a 3. Give it an average of 6. And I have nothing else to compare it to because that's on a different tab now. All right, Trisha, our next category, gay icons. Well, I think this does very well in gay icons.
I think it has a lot of like C-list sort of gay icons. Like, I don't think it has any like major one, you know, like there's no Cher, there's no, you know, Barbara
no
Streisand, Madonna doesn't show up. But you know, Emma Stone, Anna Faris. I love Beverly D'Angelo. Of course.
Catherine McPhee, I would say. She was in Smash.
She was in Smash.
She is referenced a lot on gay Twitter. They love bringing up anything Catherine McPhee is up to.
Yeah. Oh, okay. I almost want to ding it for her. I find her very problematic. She's
well, I mean, that's why maybe. Yeah. That's probably part of the appeal.
I guess so, yeah.
Kat Dennings. And Rumor Willis.
I mean, sure.
A child of a celebrity. A couple.
Two celebrities, yeah.
And Anna Faris.
And I feel that's like this lot. Movie itself, like gays, a lot of gays like love House Bunny.
Oh, I didn't know that.
There's at least two right know. Here.
Yes.
Iconic.
Iconic.
I was thinking the other day, wait, are Playboy Bunnies gay icons? I said, oh, wait, absolutely not.
No.
The photo of Dolly Parton dressed as a Playboy
oh,
Bunny.
That's a
yes.
gay icon.
Yes,
sure.
that
photo.
Is a gay icon. Yes, yes, yes. It's about as close. But the Playboy culture itself.
No.
I mean, I'd love to go to a party at its heyday. That would have been fun. Probably gross, but fun.
Oh, yeah.
The restaurant is where I would have gone. That like, New York restaurant where they all were waiters or something.
Oh, like the club?
Like
yeah, the cocktail out, yeah.
The club, yeah. That intrigued me. Gay icons. I'll give it like a 40.
40?
Is that too much?
No. Don't let Mark's tone cause you to concern or worry. I'm going to say really... like, again, like there's no major one, but I'll give it a 60.
Ooh.
60. Well, I'm going to continue this pattern.
Okay.
And give it an 80.
All
oh,
right.
I think it's pretty high.
Oh my gosh, you guys. Okay. Loving this.
I am curious to see. I want to see what Anna Faris does in like 20, what she's doing.
Oh my
like,
God.
You know what I mean? What's yeah. in her future? It'd be fun to see. Where's her Nomad Land? That's what
truly.
I want to know.
Oh yes, my God.
I want to see her shit in a bucket. Definitely.
Yes. Constantly. Well, I guess I was reading that she, like, this movie was like her idea, and that her idea for the movie was like way darker than this was. And they were like, let's make it a little so
funny.
Funner or whatever. Like, but I'm like, make
you
that
can still
version.
Do that monster voice, but let's do something a little different.
Yes.
All right. Our next category, the male gaze. How horny is the camera for the male form? I mean, this is where I'm really missing if this female director's input.
Right.
I feel like that would have been
right.
The one shirtless guy is sadly Marvin the bartender, is played by Owen Benjamin, who now is this extreme right wing comic who's like a disgusting all around. Remember we had Eva Anderson on talking about the comedian who had the bear themed compound?
Oh, yes.
That's him.
That's him.
So he's a disgusting, vile person. Gotcha. So that there is no, I am removing any possible points for my score about, I'm not going to tell you what to do.
Fair, fair.
But I'm giving no credit. There's like some scattered hunks throughout, but they're just kind of like indifferently there.
There's Cole Trickle.
Cole Trickle. Wasn't that the name in Days of Thunder of Tom Cruise's character?
That was, I didn't know that. Yeah, I mean, yeah, we don't see him with his shirt off or anything.
Like, I don't, do we want to see Colin Hanks with his shirt off? I mean, he's a cute guy, don't get me
definitely
wrong.
Definitely cute. Yeah, but I don't think he's bad, but he's given very little to do.
Yeah.
Well, seeing him with the messenger bag is like the equivalent of seeing him with the shirt off to me. It's like, oh, he's a nice guy putting out flyers.
Yeah. Like, okay. If only he had like a tweed jacket with elbow patches or something.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Little pipe.
Yeah, the male gaze.
Shirtless guy, and then that's kind of it. I can't.
There were some
even
shirtless
at the,
guys at the party, the big sort
at
of
the party,
sacrifice.
Yes.
There was a lot of guys with their shirts
on. But you really have to look for them.
Yeah,
which
they don't,
is rude.
Right. They don't really present them to you.
It should be highlighted.
No. Yeah. Fred Wolf, definitely a straight man.
Yes. Yeah, we saw a lot of butt, female butts.
Yeah.
A lot of female.
Let's get a guy's butt in there.
Sure.
Thank you. That's all we want.
Well, I'm going to count the nightmare guy just because this was 2008 and maybe before he became a nightmare.
Sure,
so I'm
going to
give him a few points because he never has a shirt on and he has that tiny little tie.
Sure. Stars on his nipples a little later.
Yes. Yeah. He's giving us stuff. So I will give it like a 38.
38.
I will give it an 18.
18. It's legal. I'll give it a barely. 20. All right. Given an average of 25.33. All right. Our next category, entrances with pizzazz.
Oh, I mean, there are some for sure.
Definitely. All the bunnies at the mall going down the steps in slow motion, having a fun day out.
Yes. Yep.
There's also and all then, the girls after their makeover where they're just like slow walking in a line through the mall, which would have been a nightmare if you were behind them. But
I would hate them.
Just trying to return your sweater to Nordstrom.
Just want to get to Orange Julius. Why are these women locking arms?
Like Catherine McPhee bursting into the meeting, holding her baby over her head.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know why they let her do that. On a gurney. You heard of Anna Faris? This is Anna Gurney.
That was definitely pizzazzy.
There's one moment that was very deep blue sea to me of killing Samuel Jackson is when right after Shelley has her big speech, the pig bursts in.
Yeah.
Oh,
and that
yeah.
to me had a very deep blue sea shark eating Samuel Jackson in the middle of his speech kind of energy. So I thought the pig had a bit
pig
of pizzazz.
Sure.
Some piggy pizzazz.
Major pizzazz.
Yeah. Also at that party, Emma Stone like makes a big entrance on top of that big structure where she goes down a slide.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the volcano.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was pizzazzy.
That's very pizzazzy.
She made that guy like fall in love with her.
Can you blame him?
Yeah. No.
Watching this, I was like, oh, Emma Stone's older than I thought she was. Like, wasn't she just a teenager like a few years ago? I thought, you know?
Yes. Well, she was really young in this, I think. Like, I think a lot of the other sorority people are like playing younger, but I think she was like a teenager for real on this.
She's 32 now. She was born in 88.
Wow.
Hmm.
So she was
20.
All right.
2020.
But it was filmed in 2007. So she was 19. You are correct, Trisha.
A little baby.
Oh, yeah.
And now she's Cruella.
Oh, what a journey for her.
She's only just getting started.
I think there's a lot of entrances with pizza. I think all the makeovers and then seeing the makeover, even when Anna Faris comes in the stairs naked, that's kind of pizzazzy.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah. It's making an impression.
Definitely.
Yeah. I would give it like a 75.
75.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. I'll go 78.
78. I'll go 76 trombones, given an average of 76.33. All right, here's our first new addition to the canon categories, Mike Pence Anxiety Scale. How, on a scale of 0 to 100, how much anxiety would this give Mike Pence?
Oh, I think it would give him a lot of anxiety.
I think, like, he's kind of through the roof.
Yeah, like, he wants everyone to be like the mean sorority girls, and we're turning it on the head there.
Right. First of all, there's all the Playboy bunnies, so that's going to
freak him out. Oh, yeah, all those butts.
Mm-hmm. All those prostitutes in that one jail scene.
Yes, chatting.
Sure. Right. Women who are empowered to take control of their lives. This is kind of nightmare fuel for him, I think.
A man talking to a woman who's not his wife.
That happens a lot in this movie.
That happens a lot in this movie.
Alone sometimes without others there.
Yes.
His big thing. Yeah, I think he was, I mean, I would say like 90.
90.
Yeah, I think the only thing that would go higher for me is if there were like two dudes kissing or two girls, anything like that.
Any actual sex.
Yeah, yeah. So I will go 93.
93. I think since it is so heteronormative, I have to ding it a bit for that. So I'll give it a 80.
All right.
Giving it an average of 87.67. That's peace, sweat, and bullets. Asking for mother. All right. our next category, Hell on Heels. This is like feisty women.
Oh.
I mean, there's a character called Mrs. Hagstrom.
Yeah.
Who you know was my favorite.
Wait, who's Mrs. Hagstrom?
Beverly D'Angelo.
Oh, I didn't know that was her name. Oh,
what
my
a perfect
God.
Name for her.
LOL.
And a scheming centerfold.
Oh, yeah.
Cassandra.
Using her nipple power to take a man down.
It was funny every time there's like the moment she's sharing a scene with the girls next door.
Right.
And you're like, oh, she's like a good actress. You know what I mean? Like, just like, oh, you can really see it. Like, it's just like, oh, she's good.
Yes. Oh my God. You know, they're like, what movie should we watch? And they're all like, a movie. Like, she's just
what do you
to
want
be
to
like,
do, Hef?
Yes. Looking beautiful.
Gorgeous. But, better in reality. I think they're better in reality television, probably. Sure. That's their medium.
Yes. Major Hell on Heels.
Again, the women in the jail.
Yep.
Yes.
The nasty sorority girls. This is like a whole lot.
And then they turn nasty when they're judging like the new recruits.
Oh, yeah.
Quickly. And then what's her face? Lily comes in and screams at them.
Yes.
Which I really like. The reveal that she was British made me laugh.
Loved the British reveal. I loved that. Totally. I mean, this is very high in this category, I would say. I would say like 97.
97. Up there was Suspiria.
Ooh.
Yeah. Yeah, you know what? That sounds right. I will go 97 as well. I think it's just chock full of them. And they're all also in heels.
This
also
is
also true.
All right. I got to give it 95 just because Suspiria exists and I need somewhere to go.
Sure.
So it's got
bring that movie back, right?
Yeah. Or the original version might come
true.
But so it's got 96.33. All right, here's another category I think it's going to do well in, and a new one, Chosen Families.
Oh, hell yeah.
I mean, she's never not in a chosen family.
Right.
No. Yeah.
There's the Playboy bunnies, the sororities.
Yeah, that's the whole
thing. The old people.
The old people. Is that chosen though? I don't know how chosen that is.
Her children chosen.
Yeah, it was chosen for you, families.
Major chosen family. I mean, it's a whole thing. She's got those dead parents right off the bat. Love
right
that.
Right. Yeah, trying to get adopted.
Yeah.
Some real rough Photoshop in that opening, I should say.
Really? I was like, is that her face? Like, I paused it on one of them.
Yeah.
Like, is that a childhood photo that they're just putting on? Like, that was rough.
Why can't this movie had $25 million. Why can't they get Photoshop or just take a day and take some photos?
Yeah.
Why is
they
there
didn't have the face swap app yet? They couldn't just
I don't
do
understand
it on...
why they all fall apart. But like movies before Photoshop didn't have this problem. You know, Photoshop existed and they thought, oh, this is cheaper and easier. Let's just do this. But it looks like shit every single, no matter what the budget is on a movie. Huh. This is my big gripe.
I'm here. I'm angry. I'm angry now.
Curious about the shoddy Photoshop in current cinema.
The category is bad Photoshop. Right?
That is a category.
But it's not this category.
But it's not this category.
I actually forget what the category
chosen
is.
No, chosen family.
Chosen family. Okay. Sorry.
Sorry for the detour.
No, I gotta learn.
This is your new job.
It's important. I need it. I need it. I need a purpose. Chosen family 100.
100.
I think.
Yeah. I think you're right. I'm just gonna go 98. Just somewhere to go.
Okay. You gotta.
I think I'll go 100 because she never even finds her. It's all, yeah, I don't know what else it could be. The whole thing is chosen families. Given an average of 99.33. That's pretty good, I think. All right, our next category, macabre. How macabre is this movie?
Well,
it's
there's
not,
her-
not macabre.
There's moments.
Sorry.
Yeah, no, it's okay. It's great. I mean, the thing is, like, there is some stuff, but it is so, like, bubblegum pink, the whole thing. But, like, her, like, not being adopted as a kid. That's kind of dark. I thought the brace that Rumor Willis was wearing for the first
any
like,
elaborate
movie.
Orthopedic device is pretty good. Nursing homes. Mm-hmm. She really fucks her legs up with the steam, which was funny.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
How gory
you
that
see
was.
It. Yeah. I like that.
Just taped to her knees. I thought it was super funny.
Nursing
I
homes.
Loved that
I thought the shambling animated corpse of Hugh Hefner was fairly macabre.
That was actually pretty good Photoshop.
That was better photo. Yeah. Still unsettling.
I think the Playboy Mansion is pretty macabre.
Yeah.
Like the inside of it, like,
oh,
it's just
so much
be
sadness.
Like, it's to me.
You
it's
turn
like,
off a few lights, it's Sunset Boulevard in there.
No, because you know, there's like one room where they let people in, and then the rest of the house is just like dust and piles and stuff.
Yeah. Broken pinball like, machines that don't. Yes.
I think like, Carrie Mae's antics like can be a little like macabre, maybe like talking about the farm and whatnot, like
sure.
I can't think of a specific, but I'm like there's something there that's a little macabre. Sacrificing a virgin,
sure,
yeah, definitely.
I would say I would give it a 55.
55.
I'll give it a 61.
61. This is still the house bunny, so I'm going to give it a 40.
Oh, right. Yeah. It is.
Oh, we're still talking about the house bunny. Oh, I'm sorry.
Great. Okay. Yeah.
But give it an average of 52. Pretty good. All right. Our next category, dramatic lighting.
Oh.
I did think at the beginning when they showed like the house, like the Zeta house, I was like, oh, it's so like dark and like the lighting itself was. But then at the end, right. It is still the same light. I thought the lighting was going to evolve. They do paint the walls and all that
right.
stuff.
Right. It gets much more colorful.
But the lighting itself didn't change. And I was waiting for that to happen, but it didn't happen. But there is like that birthday party with like the Shaquille O'Neal one. And then also like the virgin sacrificing one is pretty fun.
Right.
Yes.
But overall, it's fairly standard studio comedy looking.
Yeah.
The light on her when she's like on the manhole. Maybe like there's some street light or something.
Sure.
There's a moment there.
She's talking when they're preparing for that party. She tells them all to put Vaseline on their abs and then spray it so the light catches it better. So that's sort of a...
I loved that. I was like, this feels like a smart thing that I'm learning.
Like, taking like notes.
Something from like a Miss America pageant where like put Vaseline on your lips and then you can smile easier and stuff like that.
Yes. Yeah, mostly just bright. But I would say like, I'm going to give it like a 47.
47.
I'll give it a 35.
35. Yeah, I was going to give it a 32. Give it an average of 38. All right, our next category, vibrato.
So for this category, in addition to literal vibrato, we mean anytime they take a moment, give it a little extra, sort of zhuzh it up, give it more than it needs, but you'll like it.
Oh, we're swimming in it, I think.
Swimming in vibrato. We're quivering, baby. The length of the gum attached to her hair.
Oh my God. I was like, I forgot what happened. I'm like, what's going to happen? Like, I was like, is she going to walk away? Like, and then it came off and I was like, okay. I was like anxious.
Oh no.
Snap her neck.
It is funny. Like, yeah, I feel like we don't see like slapstick people falling down anymore. And it's always funny.
No one falls down anymore. That's
you know
the
what I mean?
It's
like it's a lost thing. It's like everyone's so like detached and ironic or like wants to like fill your soul up with goodness.
I think that's why I like it too. It's like, I need just people falling down right now.
Yeah.
That's like the level of entertainment that I need and crave and like feels good to me.
And the pratfalls are so well done, I think, because they look like actually hard and painful. That's why they work.
Oh my God.
Like, yes. Oh, they had to use a stunt person for that.
Yes.
It's great.
I thought the aforementioned ice packs on her knees and her like scarred calves, that was very vibrato.
Very vibrato.
I think also Anna Faris's entire performance is like,
oh,
she threads that line of being like, it could be like a sketch character almost, but you still like, there's so much like heart and warmth to her.
Yeah, oh it, could, God, yes. It could overstay its welcome, but it does maintain the whole movie.
Yeah, that, like, that monster voice. Monster that's extra. Voice. Made me laugh very every vibrato. Time.
And there also is singing.
Yes, Catherine McPhee. Mm-hmm. Has a real vibrato moment there.
Was she an American Idol? Is that how she started?
Yes.
Yes.
That's right.
That's how she first came to all of our attention.
I think you like her on American Idol? This
no, I Smash. Found her very annoying and like complete. Like on American Idol, they would give her critiques and she'd be like, you guys are mean. And that's why I was like, I don't like you.
That's funny.
You came on American Idol and Simon Cowell's giving you feedback and you're like, ow, stop. I'm cute.
You know? She went, oh my, she zigged when everyone else zagged. Good for her. I don't
did,
agree with that.
She did. We don't see Fantasia in the house, Bunny, sadly. I don't know why I did shit on Fantasia.
You ever seen that it's clip from, that you know how she starred in the Lifetime movie of her own life?
Right.
Like yes. She starred in her own biopic. There's that clip where she vomits at the kitchen table. You
in
gotta watch
real
it.
Life? Oh, I've got to see that.
What's yeah, no. Like they, we got to include this scene in Fantasia's life.
Changed the whole course
really
of her
rough.
Life.
Like, yeah. What if that didn't happen to her and some writer was like, but what if you vomited on the what table? She was like, but I never did that. And he's like, but it would
what
really
if
were
he is sort moment. Of just lying there right now. Nothing. We need an event. We need something to happen in this scene.
Yeah. What if your head he's got like, trapped in like a bucket and like you couldn't get off, but like you fell down some stairs?
Oh my God. It's funny that there's an so American vibrato. Idol joke in this movie oh. And Catherine McPhee was in American oh. Idol. I just realized yeah. that.
It's a vibrato. Lot of stuff
so
like that.
Vibrato.
Because the guy that Emma Stone likes, he's in some band like
All American Rejects.
Rejects. And every scene he's yes. in, an All American Reject song is sort of playing in the background.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah. You got to read oh. the IMDb trivia.
I got it.
So many gems in there.
So much. I mean, I her whole performance, the singing, the voice, the over the top physical stuff, I'm gonna give it a 99.
Yeah, I'm gonna go 96. I think it's pretty constant.
Yeah, I'll go 95, giving it a 96.67. pretty good. All right, our next category, footwork. How would you rate the footwork? There's the choreographed dance at the birthday party, then old people dancing.
Right.
The final music video.
Right. There's a lot of, as we said, pratfalls and whatnot. That's all yep. footwork.
Also walking in heels to me is footwork. Yeah. I'm just really impressed with all of that. Like
that looks painful.
The like exercise class in the beginning. Right. The kind of footwork.
Definitely. Rumor Wells running and losing her,
her yeah.
grace. That's footwork.
And then taking her hat off. Like, why does her hat need to be on? Why
that was
is that
an orthopedic
part of it?
Knit cap, I guess? Yes.
It'll balance her.
I think there's a decent amount of footwork. I would give it like a 77.
Oh, Rumor Willis won Dancing with the Stars.
That's right.
Did she?
She did.
I didn't know that.
She was also in Masked Singer.
Oh.
She shows up.
She's likable. She is likable, right?
She is. I actually did a show with her once many years ago. I was in a musical parody of Devil Wears Prada, and she's sat in for a couple performances. She's very nice. She's a great
that
voice.
Show. I that was very funny and very, very good.
Who was she in the Devil Wears Prada?
She played the Anne Hathaway part.
Ah.
She did. Oh my gosh.
She's very good.
Has she done Broadway?
I'm looking at her page. I'm entirely sure. Now. She might have done like a Chicago at some point.
Oh, she's in 2008, she was a spokesperson for the brand Ocean Pacific, or to us California's OP, as we used to call it.
Oh,
oh
kids,
wow.
OP.
Mm. In the know.
When you see that logo, you're like, oh, shit.
Oh, shit. It's about to get relaxed.
We're all about to calm down in here.
Yeah.
I used to work at Pacific Sunwear, so I'm aware of all these brands.
Now it's Pac Sun. Well, it has been for the last 15 years, but.
Yeah. As after my time.
So footwork. So
Trisha, you gave it a 77.
77, yes.
I will give it an 83.
83. How did, as a professional dancer yourself, John, how would you rate this dancing? The choreography.
I wouldn't say there's anything that was that ambitious in the choreography, but it was fun.
They're not like
it's a lot of like hip.
Yeah.
Lean forward, hip.
It wasn't like particularly like transgressive. We're like, what can we do that's interesting?
Right.
Moments of stillness.
I don't think they needed weeks of rehearsal to put these numbers together.
Probably not. There's quite a few. I'll give it a 73. Give an average of 77.67. Finally, the last in the canon categories. Trisha, on a scale of 0 to 100, how likely are you to recommend the House Bunny to a gay person?
Pretty likely.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's fun and good. And I would say I would give it like a 90.
A 90. That's way up there.
Yeah. Oh, shit.
No, that's not wrong. I'm just like, there's no judgment attached to that.
I mean, it does sound like there's judgment attached to it. That's just there.
That's what I talk like. That's just what I sound like.
Fair enough.
You're that's like the voice in my head. It's very familiar.
Yeah.
You should do like be one of those people who records like a Google Maps or like a Waze voice. We're like, what are you doing? Turn
left. At 2 miles, you're gonna turn left.
I know, okay, what you're thinking.
I will.
Whenever you're ready, I guess.
Yeah, I agree. I think 90 sounds right. I think it is super fun and a good time. And I also to like take a break from Mean Girls, put a little House Bunny in.
Yeah, right. It's like the same. I guess it's less. It's more, after you've graduated from Mean Girls, you go to college and watch perfect. The House Bunny.
This is a great double feature.
Oh, hell yeah.
And they both have Emma Stone wears a very similar Christmas outfit that they wear in
the talent show
Mean
right.
Girls and the Christmas pageant. I'll also give it a 90. I do think this is a lot of fun, and there's like so many. It's a stacked cast, so it's pretty great. All right, now we're into the wheel categories.
So these categories are all categories that previous guests have brought in. We put them on this wheel, which is an app on my phone. So what we're doing now is we've adjusted this one as well. So we're going to spin it 3 times, whatever category randomly pops up, that's how we will judge the movie. And now going forward, one of us, Mark or I, are going to pick a category from the wheel that hasn't been done. And then after that, you are going to come up with a category that we will add to the wheel. Make sense? Great. Remember we talked about a wheel earlier? Here's where it all pays off. So here we go.
Foreshadowing, payoff. Yeah. You're a writer. You understand these things.
Yeah.
Movies.
Words.
Word. Writers love words, I've been told.
Okay, here we go. Mirror motif.
There are a lot of mirror motifs. There's a lot of like looking in makeup mirrors. A lot of makeup mirrors, mostly.
A lot of makeup mirrors. There's a one scene where she like spies people. Like it's a very high tech mirror she's holding at that one moment.
Yeah.
They used all the Photoshop technology.
Shot. How much do we have left in this budget?
We booked 3 hours with ILM. How are we going to use it?
Oh, I think it's, I mean, you know, it's not like Snow White is 100, I guess.
Sure. Yeah.
So right. It's not that, but I mean, there's a lot. So, I mean, I would say it's like 88.
88.
There's a bunch of mirror stuff. There's not like a motif necessarily.
It doesn't have like thematic resonance necessarily.
Right. It's not like every time you go to the mirror, this happens. But it's used a bunch. I'll give it a 71.
71. Great. There are a lot of mirror. I'll give it a 50. I think it's right down the middle. I think they could. Yeah. More themes. I think it could have been nice.
Okay. Wow.
He's a real stickler for motifs, Mark. That's
okay. I love a motif. But hey, got 69.67 at Mirror Motif. That's very hot.
Okay, here we go. From iTanya, fashion so bad, it's good.
Oh, come on. Yeah. I mean, all of this. I mean, looking back on it, it's all like 90s low rise things.
Yeah.
And yeah.
Like, a very particular time.
Water bras.
Do those not exist anymore?
Not in my world.
I see.
Like, nursing bras, maybe. Hey-o! We got a mom joke.
Here we go.
Let's see. I think of so much. I mean, I guess, but is it bad? I mean, because she looks cute and everything.
Yeah, right? Like, it's nothing, like, terribly, like, ooh, that's, like, that hasn't aged well.
Right.
Just, there's a bit of a time capsule, but none of it's, like, terrible. Like, there's
yes,
nothing,
it's
like,
more of a time capsule than, like, bad fashion.
Yeah. It is crazy though. She has 70 different looks in this movie.
Yeah, she has like a new look every minute and a half or something. Is what she averages. Like, it's insane.
Good job, movie. I think that's where the Photoshop movie good. Went.
You don't think she actually changed clothes? You think she was just in one outfit? And they're like, we gotta stitch this up.
One green bikini the whole time.
Yeah,
with little ping pong balls on it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, now I'm confused. So,
well, maybe yeah, like the doubt when the like the girls are we first meet them, they're like, you know, meant to be like, ooh, right. They haven't gotten the pre-makeover.
Right. Right.
They're wearing their overalls and Kat Dennings has all those facial piercings.
The yeah. wig that she's in is mm-hmm. crazy.
Kind of the goofy stuff they're wearing at the party.
But none of it is like so bad it's good though either. You know what I mean? It's just like, oh, it's just like frumpy kind of.
Like, what's so bad it's good? Can you like give me an Tanya. Example of
well,
that?
It came from
like, I Tanya. Duh. Yeah, yeah. Okay. Right. Okay. I
wow.
Get
another Emma Stone yourself.
Vehicle. Right.
Sorry. It's the Mark Rennie in me.
I've never said duh to you.
Yeah. I think there's a bit, but it's not like the whole thing. So I would give it like, I'd give it like a 45. 40. 40. 40. 40. I'm going to stick with 40. I'm going to be honest. And I think it's 40.
You have integrity. Let the record show.
Which is what we want all of our guests to leave this podcast having. I also think like the Playboy Bunny ears, which they wear a bunch of times.
Oh yeah.
Like, stuff that again, the prostitutes in the jail. Like that. And I was actually really into, I wanted to almost look at a lookbook of just the earrings that Anna Faris wears in this movie. Mm. Like she has a lot of like really like bold choices, which you would think aren't gonna work, but they work. I was also very jealous, like just looking at Anna Faris, I was like, I wish I was ever, my body was ever that cute.
Oh my God, her body.
Any one of those.
Incredible.
Looks. It was just like, I think in a way, like she could put, you could put anything on her body in that movie and you'd be like, adorable.
Even the way she moves when she's dancing, you're just like, it's almost like she's just this little like perfect woman elf creature. Like she's just so adorable in a non-threatening way.
Yeah, like, she seems cool.
Right, yeah.
Like it's just, yeah, her body's insane.
Yeah, I'll give it a 77.
77. Oh, I think Chris Pratt leaving her was the beginning of the end of
absolutely.
Him for me.
Yeah.
Oh, he's dead to me. I mean, yeah. I don't know the details and I don't care to. I love her so much.
You said 77, John?
I did.
Okay. I'll give it a 36. Given it, I don't think it's ever that like, so like, oh, that's so bad. Give an average of 51.
Okay.
Okay.
Well, now Chris Pratt's with a Schwarzenegger.
Yes.
And it's she's got a podcast, Anna Faris. I know that.
Oh yeah.
She does. Hmm. I've listened to it a bit.
Fun.
still charming.
Great.
I don't know.
I'm always going to root for her.
Yes.
Yeah, she's great. All right. From Batman Forever, over the top production design.
Okay.
Alrighty. Now, here we go. This here is a go. Category. I mean, they're all kind of great categories, but this is great for me. I love the thing that I love the most about this is the Aztec party.
Yeah.
The way they are like, this is a backyard.
Like, right. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, this is
massive.
Like, not a backyard. There's no way this house has a backyard, but has this ability.
Yeah, it would take up like favorite. Three lots behind them.
Yes.
It's like a big love situation where it's, you know, yes. Like
that was really over the top in a delightful way that delighted me. Like I love things that don't make sense like that in movies.
And I think the house like becomes like super cute and like it goes really over the top inside. Definitely. Of like they really lean into cute. And also yes. The Playboy Mansion is inherently like over the top production design.
Definitely.
Inside, like
yes.
It's so like why do you have to be this gothic?
Right. And her car, every time the door creaks open and all these dogs bark.
Yeah, that was
that production
made me laugh
design?
Every time.
I don't
know. Like, I would say no, but sure.
It's fun to talk about.
That was a fun thing. Vibrato, definitely.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, yeah. I think tons of that all over, all the houses and the, yeah. I would give it like a 96.
96.
Yeah, there's a bunch. It doesn't go like fantastical. Like it's extra, but it never goes into the world of like outside of reality so much. So I will give it an 84.
It never becomes The Crow is what you're saying.
Exactly. That's exactly. Okay. Thank you. That's exactly what I meant to say.
It's always your go-to.
But is it The Crow?
You're like every guy I dated in high school. I was obsessed with
yeah.
The Crow.
The soundtrack. You got to listen to Nine Inch Nails doing Dead Souls. It's so good. I did have that soundtrack and I did love it. I'll give it a 60 and over the top. I mean, it's pretty good. All right. Okay. Now it is time for host choice. And this week, John is bringing a category.
So I'm going to choose a category. The category I'm choosing this time is a classic. It's been with us from the beginning.
An OG.
And it is Makeover Montage. And I think that because I think there are three very distinctive makeover montages in this film. There's the very beginning with the Playboy bunnies where they're all getting ready for the party. There's Anna and the girls when she's like, no, you just need to be pretty. And then there's the one with Anna Faris where she's like becoming smart.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So I think this movie is chock full of them. Classic, like literally like going to the mall, getting their hair done, buying clothes, doing makeup. It is like a textbook. If you had to teach a class of makeover montages, you would show that montage.
I do think in the second one, there's too much dialogue. Like they cut away the music and then have them talking to, I almost wish they kept it pure montage, like with just the sound and all visual, no dialogue. That is my one complaint about the second one.
Okay.
Fair.
The pure makeover montage is my white whale, essentially. I will find it one day.
And the songs I love all so much during them. This is 100 for this. I love all of them. I love the getting smart montage. I love a getting smart montage. It's so funny. Like, and like them being like, no, you're still too sexy. Like, it's just like, oh yeah, I loved it. 100.
Yeah, I'll also go 100. I think there's three of them and I think they're pretty classic and they vary a little bit. So yeah, I will also give 100.
I'm going to go 99.9.
Oh, okay, sure. Just for a few lines of dialogue.
I'm on the hunt. I'm Ahab. One day I might not ever find it. Maybe this will be my obsession and I'll never find what I'm looking for. But such is my cross to bear. All right, given a 99.97. That's pretty good. All right, Trisha, the time has come for you to come up with a category that we can use to judge how gay the house bunny is and all subsequent movies, other movies, when this gets thrown onto the wheel.
Okay.
Any thoughts? We can talk it out.
Yeah, we can talk it out. Let's talk it out. A good gay movie.
Maybe something about like true to your being, finding your true self your chosen family is definitely already a category that you have.
It is definitely a category we already have. Yes.
Like over the top sexuality outfits.
Sexy outfits. Absolutely. Sexy outfits for sure. John, what do you think?
I think that works. Is there something about like using sex as a weapon, which is what Cassandra does with what's his name? Marvin.
Marvin.
Yes.
Sure. Ugh,
that's really good.
Sex weapons?
Yeah.
Weaponizing sex.
Using sex.
Weaponizing
as a weapon.
Sex.
All right.
I like
weaponizing
it.
That's sex. Great.
Guys, thank you for helping me. We talked that it out. Really good.
Wow. Trisha came on and weaponized sex.
That's what I do.
That's her brand.
That's what I'm for.
So what would you give the house bunny in weaponizing sex? Well, she does like weaponize her sex to like for the car wash.
Definitely.
To like get the guys over, you know?
I mean, she uses her sexiness to take down that other sorority, basically. For a while.
And she's sort of like with the girls, she teaches them to, I mean, she sort of teaches them how to play the game of like, make it seem like other boys are into you. You've got to do this.
This is apropos of nothing at this point, but it was very, I just realized now, it was very funny at the end, like the meeting where they have to decide if this sorority gets to be exists, like that is so well attended. Like hundreds of people showed up to see, like, are they going to be a sorority? Like, why is this normally probably happened behind closed doors? Like a sad office. But no, this is the thing to do that day. This parliamentary procedure.
They're the only in the balcony. Item of business.
Right. Yeah. It's like, this is everyone's wants to know.
Oh, she also punches that girl in a boob. That's a thing.
That's true.
I would score it pretty high in weaponizing sex. I would give it like an 87.
I'll give it an 89.
I'll go right in the middle and give it an 88. All right, now we are into the bonus categories.
These categories, as the name implies, are bonus. So they're just extra points that the movie can make. If it doesn't do well in any of these categories, it's not going to work against it. So we're scoring these from 0 to 10.
Okay. All right, the first one, Trisha, on a scale of 0 to 10%, musical potential. Could you see the House Bunny turning into a musical?
Yes.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I think 100%.
It seemed insane that it hadn't been already.
It's insane that it hasn't been. Yes. 100%. Yeah.
10.
Oh my God. Yeah. 10.
Yeah. It was funny. While watching this, I was like, they need to make this a musical because every high school will do it. And then I was like, oh, no, wait. Because no. What is good about it as a musical won't. Is that there's so many great parts for women. And there's so many, you know, so many theaters are like, well, we've had 100 women audition and 3 guys.
But are there even like Playboy bunnies anymore? You know what I mean? Like, I feel like Playboy doesn't actually have that cachet it did. No. Like, this was almost like the death throes, like literally with Hugh Hefner, you know what I mean? This was like the last time the Playboy was like relevant in a way. Like, I feel it just doesn't.
I agree. It doesn't. But I don't think that idea is foreign. Like, I think you people would still be like, oh, I know what that is. Like, if you had that reference, people would be like, what are you talking about?
She has an OnlyFans, I guess. The House OnlyFans would be the new version.
She got kicked out of OnlyFans.
Yeah. Which is often referred to as a chosen family, I believe.
Yes.
Trish has given it a 10.
I'm also giving it a 10. Yeah. It's a slam dunk. Especially if you jukebox with the songs in this movie. It's great.
Oh my God. I love the songs. Yeah.
I'll also give it a 10. Giving it a 10.
Nice.
All right, our next category, queer menace. Any queer menaces in this movie? Unfortunately, it's used as like not a cool way, in a gross way.
That's
the
only thing I can think of that I don't like. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, unless you consider Anna Faris as not so much queer as in homosexual, but just this weird energy coming in and disrupting the sorority hierarchy. You know what I mean? Like she is queer in the fact that she is not of this world. And she comes in and a lot of, you know, the evil sorority is, and Beverly D'Angelo and all those women are like threatened by her. So
they are
way
really threatened by her like sexuality.
Sure.
Like,
yeah. And there's
but she is like the most heteronormative though.
Also true. Also
which is
true.
The problem.
Or
which
is she
a big
so
problem.
Normative that it's not
turns
normal?
Around again?
No.
I gotta fight.
Is that
I
real?
Yeah, you gotta fight. You gotta
for the cause. This feels like I'm fighting for the wrong cause.
Yeah. Isn't it
you
good?
You know
that
what
she's
podcast
so
you're on right now, yeah. Trish, right?
Isn't it good that she's not queer?
Shit.
And correct?
Yeah, I'm going to give this a 0.
A 0.
I don't think it gets any bonus for that.
I'll give it a 1 just because I feel like she is like a queer, like, energy, like not again, not like homosexual queer, but like queer and the like, you are not like us and we are threatened by you.
You are not like us. I'm gonna give it a 0 in this. All right, our next one, given an average of 0.33. All right, our next category, character actress makes a big swing.
Well, I was like so confident that immediately was like, wait a minute. Well, wait, is she a character actress?
Anna Faris?
I think so. I think she is. I think she's a character actress who is in a beautiful woman's body.
Trapped.
And I think and I think that is, again, I know I've said this before, like that's why I love that she had this, because I think this is, if she didn't make this for herself, probably no one would make it for her.
You never saw Smiley Face, John?
I did not see Smiley Face.
That's her like weed comedy.
Oh, I should check that out.
You.
All right.
And also, she's very funny in the Scary Movie movies.
I believe you. But I think she is a character actress. And I think her performance is a big swing this whole movie.
Beverly D'Angelo. She doesn't quite like get a like screaming unhinged moment, you know?
Right. You almost want her to be a little evil or like almost like come into some scene and like unplug something at a dramatic moment.
Yeah.
You know what
or
I mean?
Like have.
Yeah, she's
like,
not very active.
Right. Get thrown into like a dump truck and come out with her hair crazy. Yeah. And now she's wild or something, you know?
Maybe that's why everyone came to the meeting, because they were like, it's this lady we keep hearing about.
Yeah.
Finally,
Mrs. Hagstrom's
going to
lose it. Yeah.
Like, she might sing something from Hair. Let's show up.
I do think Anna Faris's whole performance is a big swing. I think if many actresses, you were like, you're going to play a Playboy bunny, you're going to wear like no clothes, and you have to do this kind of like breathy voice the whole time, they would be like, I'm not doing that shit. That could go very wrong, you know?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And she like really commits to it. So I would say I give it a 10.
A 10.
Yeah, I'm also giving it a 10 for this one. I think she really, that's the whole movie, is I think her performance as a character actor is making a huge swing.
I too will give it a 10. Give it an average of 10.
Tens across the board.
All right, our next category. Witches. How witchy is this? Where there's the mean sorority girls.
Yeah, sororities are kind of like covens.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think even the Playboy bunnies, kind of witchy a little bit.
Yes.
Cassandra with her like.
I mean, the castle. They live in a castle.
Yeah.
They do live in a castle.
Tweaky nipples.
As we always know, witches love castles. Mm-hmm. Classic trope.
Where do witches live? They don't live in castles?
Bogs.
Where do they live?
They live in trees.
Bogs.
Oh, trees and bogs. Okay.
Well, I guess the Wicked Witch lived in a castle. She's more like upper class witches.
Yeah,
she's the 1% of witches, I would say.
That's the only kind I associate with, honestly.
Wow.
I think it's got a lot of witchy energy, a lot of like, yeah, females all sacrifice. Living together. Virgin sacrifice. I think Kat Dennings' energy is very witchy.
She has like a hippie, definitely. Like they gave her like a hippie vibe.
Yes.
Hippies are like,
I think she's more grunge than hippie to me, but sure.
This is what Wikipedia said.
Okay.
They referred to her as Zeta's sister who wears hippie clothing and is pregnant.
Wait, that's Catherine McPhee.
That's Catherine McPhee. Isn't that what we said?
Oh,
said
Kat Dennings. I said Kat Dennings.
Oh, Kat Dennings. She wears drab clothing and has many piercings. She is standoffish towards men and attractive women. Who wrote this? Someone who,
oh my God.
Jesus, an AI bot, I think.
And like, this is off topic, but the one sorority sister who's just short and that's her whole thing is,
right. Yeah.
Is something. Funny.
There's a whole lot of like roll a die that is just a descriptive word.
There was like, one very funny thing where she started growing. And I was like, what is happening? I thought, oh, is she getting like empowered? Which, but then you realize, oh, she's standing on a ramp when they cut to the reverse angle. But that moment ramp, was very yes. funny to me. I was like, this is
that was
what
funny.
Is what this is wild. Like, oh. I was like, that was fun.
And you can even say Anna Faris, like she comes in, she's almost like the good Clinton, witch in the Cinderella. Good witch. Or like yes. in Cinderella, where she's like, I'm gonna give you all a makeover, and we're gonna sure. go to the ball.
So but then they kick out the stepmother and say,
exactly.
I think this is pretty witchy. I'm going to give it an 8. Like, I think, you know, there's no spells and cauldrons, but.
Except Anna Faris has cast a spell on us all.
That's true.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I will give it a 7.
8.
7. Yeah, I'll give it a 7. Given an average of 7.33. All right, this next category might be tough. Gay actors playing gay roles.
So.
Yeah.
That's a 0.
Yeah, I think
sadly.
So. But it's okay. This is a bonus, so it's all right if it gets a 0. It doesn't hurt.
Yeah,
it.
I'm going to give it a 0 as well. All right, the next category, themes of mothers.
Come on.
Yeah. They call her the house mother house the whole time. Mm-hmm. House mothers.
Yeah, the whole thing.
I did want to know more about the nice house mother who like, I hear Zeta needs something. Like, what's her story? We never see her again.
Never see her again. And she was so nice for no reason. I was wondering that. I'm like, who is she?
For a second, I thought it was Deborah Jo Rupp, but it wasn't.
No.
Hmm.
Or maybe that would be revealed to be Shelley's mother. And wouldn't that be a twist?
There we go.
That was funny too. Yeah, a 10. Yeah, like the whole thing is that she's a mom.
I'll give it a 10 as well.
10. Yeah, I guess you have to, right?
It's McPhee also gives birth.
Oh my God, duh, yes. It is crazy that she gives birth and that's her whole kind of character.
Yeah, she's nice and pregnant.
Yeah, because it's like she's beautiful and like whatever, like yeah. normal and whatever. It's like, oh, send her to Zeta, she's pregnant.
All yeah. right, here's our next.
Sorry.
We all, it got tens across the board again. House Bunny racking it up, but will it in this next new bonus category, drinks thrown in faces? Does anyone get a drink thrown in their face?
They have to, right?
Well, Marvin is making drinks and at one point is just like so angry that he's just sort of like throwing stuff in the blender. So drinks sort of drinks
thrown in a blender.
Sloppy. There's sort of a sloppiness with drinks.
When she falls at the farmer's market.
That's what I was thinking too.
There's some crashing. But it's not, there's never like, when I think drinks thrown in place, I don't, to me, it's more like, it's like a, fuck like a martini. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like a, it's a transactional act. You know what I mean? It's not like, it's not,
what did you say?
It can't happen in a bubble.
Dang. It feels like there should be.
You would think that mean centerfold would have one or do it at some point. You think anything at the Playboy Mansion, there's going to be drinks thrown in faces left and right.
Even by accident. I mean,
even by accident. Right.
I mean, I never saw it, but I think it probably happened.
Okay. I think it happens like spiritually.
Like the moon landing. Like the, it's like the moon landing.
Right. It's like the moon landing.
I was there, but yeah.
I'm pretty sure.
I'll give it a 5.
A 5 based on
I have a weird
feelings.
Confidence. It's in the movie that I've seen a million times, but I don't remember it.
All right. I'll give it a 2.
A 2. I don't think it happened. I'm going to give it a 0. But hey, it got a 2.33, and you're gonna be fine, because wait till you hear this next category. Quips. How quippy is the house bunny?
Come on.
Yeah,
quips for days.
The eyes are the nipple of the face.
Oh, right. That's like, that's part of our culture now.
Thank
like
you.
That line, like it's just like,
was mentioned on E Pluribus Unum.
It was mentioned on Drag Race. That was used in Drag Race UK. One of the queens said it during their snatch game.
There you go.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Wait,
iconic.
Who said it?
I want to say it was Bimini.
Oh, I love Bimini.
Oh, right.
Yeah. And I didn't, it was
oh my
funny because
that's right. I remember that now.
I hadn't seen House Bunny. So when she said it and on Drag Race, I was like, oh my God, that's so funny. And then when she said it in this movie, I was like, oh, that was a reference. Good for her, though.
The one that really made me laugh was when it's in the bar and the mean girl says, like, excuse me. And Carrie goes, why'd you fart?
I love that. And that she says so it twice. Stupid.
Yeah.
There were so many good ones. I love, this is not really a quip, but like when she's like reading the thing in the very, very beginning and is like, dear Shelley, that's me. Oh God, there's more. Like all of her like dumb jokes to herself are so good. And like, yeah, all the sorority back and forth. I mean, there's a lot of quips.
So what do you want?
I'm going to give it a 9.
A 9.
Yeah, I'm going to give it an 8 because there's so many funny lines, but they're not all like quips. Like, to like again, right. Like so many of the lines are super, super funny, but I wouldn't necessarily call them quips. But yeah, I still think it's super funny.
I'll give it a 9. Give it an average of 8.67.
Okay, before I forget, I just thought of something. I just want to quickly go back. Not that we're going to change the score, but drinks thrown in faces. I feel like when Beverly D'Angelo punches the other girl in her breast, that is like a drink being thrown in your face.
Yep.
The thing I would say to that, though, to me, when I think drinks, it's like it can't be an alpha in some ways to a beta. You know what I mean? The best, the ideal drinks thrown in faces is like someone with less power doing it to someone of higher status. Like, to me, that's the ideal, most satisfying in a way.
I don't know. I think it could be same status. I don't think the higher, lower necessarily.
I'm just thinking for me, like the ideal version of that is something like that.
Gotcha. Fair enough.
Like to a like woman that. Doing it to a gross guy or something.
Oh, right.
Not the act of, less the act
you
of the
pig.
Throwing yeah, the yeah, yeah, exactly.
There's a pig.
There is a pig. That's true. All right, a 10.
We got there, baby.
All right, now we're into the iconic categories.
So these categories are sort of bigger, broader umbrella categories. You'll see, and we're going back from 0 to 100 for these.
Oh, okay.
All right. The first one. How would you rate the house bunny in homoeroticism? Not very. I had nothing written down for this.
Yeah, me
well,
either.
There's a moment where she's like talking about like we should be sexy together to get guys to like us or something.
Yeah.
I don't That's know if true. That counts, but it's something.
You give it a few points for that.
That's all I can think of. That's not a lot.
Like sororities don't have that homoerotic cachet that fraternities tend to.
Do, right. Although she is like walks around naked, but they are sort of shocked and scandalized, but still.
That seems more like sisterly though than like.
Right. Well, what about even like the Playboy bunnies in a way that they're all sort of, I mean, we don't
living
see them
together,
do anything, but you imagine that they add time.
Yeah,
to,
but
like,
they're all in service
out.
Of Hef, you know?
Right. I agree. Right. I'm just sort of, again, advocating, trying to make some points.
I mean, out of 100, I will give it like a 20 just for like that one joke. That's even not sure. really great for sure. this category, but something.
Sure.
Sure.
Fair enough.
I'll give it 11.
11. I'll give it a 3. giving an average of 11.33. All right, our next in the iconic category is drag queen inspiration. Could a drag queen watch this and come away with a whole book of ideas? We have replaced over the top wardrobe with drag queen inspiration because we realized they're kind of the same.
Kind of the same.
Oh, I mean, yes.
I would think so.
And clearly, Dimini. Yeah.
Exactly.
Like, I've never seen a drag queen. Like, I wonder if it is, like, if someone came out on the runway dressed as House Bunny, would people be like, oh, that's House Bunny?
Right. I was thinking that too. Matter, like, there's so many looks, but it doesn't have something like a Legally Blonde, where, like, she has that one look where you're like, that's Legally Blonde. And I
would say the girl in the bedazzled orthopedic device, we would know that from House Bunny.
Yeah.
That's true.
Definitely.
I mean, if it was all pink and, I mean, it's definitely inspiring.
Oh, like the era it's from, the era it kept, like bedazzled short shorts and all that stuff.
Yes, and like the blonde and the bunny ears and the hair and the lips and everything.
Wearing Easter Island heads.
Sure.
Yes.
Doing a take on Marilyn Monroe's 7-year itch steam thing.
Yeah.
That was so fun. She's like, she probably used soothing botanicals. That really made me laugh. Recognizability, maybe not. I mean, I would say like, I don't know, like 80, like 90. I would give it a 90. I think I can definitely see drag queen being inspired by this.
Like a House Bunny night?
Yeah, like House Bunny night. I mean,
that might be great.
When you say it like that, I'm like, I don't know if I see that on a flyer necessarily.
Right. I don't know if it would be a good show, but it would definitely be like, oh, this would be.
I would so be excited.
Of course.
I could pay for a night myself and ask drag queens to do what would make me happy. I would want that.
I'm pretty sure you can.
Yeah.
I think that's doable. They're mostly on Instagram.
Yeah.
I'm honestly a 90 for me. It's a 90 for me.
I agree. I think there's a lot about this. The only thing I would ding it for is that there isn't that iconic look where you go, oh my God, House Bunny. But I'll give it a 93.
93. I'll give it 88. I think there's a lot.
Okay.
Given an average of 90.33. And finally, the last of the iconic categories, camp factor. How campy is the House Bunny?
I mean, it is campy. It's also like corny. Like, where, you know what I mean? Like,
sure.
What's the line?
Isn't that tension the interesting thing about it? <though? laughs> Thin line between corn and camp.
Yes.
And some overlap. Look at the Osmonds. I watched an amazing documentary. Sorry, another. There's an amazing UK. It wasn't the BBC. An hour-long documentary called like Being the Osmonds from like early mid 2000s. It's an hour long. Okay. It's like all the brothers talking, like, and they're all so bitter. But they don't think they're coming off as bitter. They think they're coming off as like, man, we were wrong. Like if one of the brothers said, if Donnie Marie hadn't blown up, I would have been as huge a songwriter as like Led Zeppelin.
Whoa.
And one guy, one of the brothers blames.
So weird. Musical.
One of the brothers blames being an Osmond on getting cancer.
That's wow.
And they don't think they're bitter.
They think they're coming off like cool. And one guy's complaining about money, but then you see him in his hotel room in Branson where he's like obsessed with buying power tools that he doesn't need. Watch this movie. It's free on YouTube. It's like called Being the Osmonds or Becoming something. Just do like Osmond UK documentary. You'll find it. I started it at like 1:30 at night, like just seen. And then an hour went by
in 2 seconds. It was incredible. Three times.
Yeah. I just love documentaries when they're unintentionally revealing.
Oh, yeah.
Those are always the most interesting. Anyways, big campy. How campy is...
I think it's very campy. I mean, she's got her birthday cake with like that's like bejeweled, and there's a lot of campy stuff in this. I think this is like a super campy movie.
I think it's very campy. I think it's like, it's not like 100 for me, but it's like pretty up there. Like all the costume stuff and the over the top, like the Marilyn Monroe thing is very campy to me. Like the Forrest Gump send off very over the top. Like
I kept waiting for that to be like a twist, like she's gonna fall or something, but nope.
Nope, no twist. She's just very pretty.
Yeah.
I'm gonna give it like a 92.
I'll give it a 94.
94. I got a quick list of campy things I noticed. So here we go. Scrapbooks. Getting Shaquille O'Neal to lift you up so you can blow out your birthday candles. A cat with a cane. A Playboy bunny getting Logan's run. A Playboy bunny spending the night in jail. Kat Dennings wig giving away that she's destined for a makeover. Letting Bob Saget grind on you for charity. Sexy car washes. The feature film debut of All American Rejects lead singer Tyson Ritter. Bad karaoke rapping. Catherine McPhee having to act like she's hesitant to sing. Hacking a karaoke machine. Scheming centerfolds. Overly elaborate water slides. A big speech saving the day. Mean girl duos breaking up. And finally, Catherine McPhee singing a House Bunny themed cover of I Know What Boys Like. So I think this is pretty campy. I'm going to go 93.
Oh, an average great. Of I love it.
93. Finally, we're into the crown jewels.
So these categories, we don't rate. We all say whether we think it gets it or not.
Okay.
All right. The first one, a 15% bonus of all the points for a positive portrayal of homosexuality.
Ooh. Nope.
Nope. Yeah, I don't
That's
think
it's pretty
it
easy.
It's not. I don't think it's homophobic, but there's no real portrayal of homosexuality. So.
I agree.
All right. And then finally, the last thing, negative 50% of all the points, if this is the movie Boat Trip.
This is not the movie Boat Trip, so it will not lose 50% of its points.
All right. That's it. We're done?
Trish, we finished. Oh, so now that we're done, how do you think it did? Do you still think you're in the top 75%?
I think we did infinitely better than I thought I was going to, honestly. Like, I am, like, thrilled. I mean, I think we did pretty darn good.
I think this, like, has a shot at being in the top 20, I'll say.
Wow.
All right. I will tell you right now exactly how it did.
All right.
Out of a total possible 2,675.80, the House Bunny has scored 2,064.43, giving a percentage of 77.15, making it the 17th. Gayest movie ever. Not as gay as The Fifth Element, but gayer than The Little Mermaid.
That sounds right.
Gayer than The Little Mermaid sounds totally right to me.
And that has Ursula.
Right? As a divine stand-in.
That's a musical.
Oh. Yeah.
That's the power of Anna Faris.
Congratulations, Trish. That's you made to the top 20.
I mean, I needed this win. And I Something. Accept it as my own.
Now, I have a question. How did where is Last Holiday?
Oh,
how did that do? Because your husband Eugene brought in that movie. Eugene's.
Yes, we love Last Holiday in this house.
Last Holiday is 59th place with a 59.20.
Look at that.
So you're about
that's another win you got.
42 places higher. 42 places higher.
Well, he's doing the dishes tonight, baby.
Yeah, baby.
Does he never do the dishes?
He, like, pretty much does them a lot. I mean, I would say it's at least 50-50. He's a good person. Don't want to shame him.
Well, Trisha, thank you so much
so
for doing
much fun
this.
To have you.
Is there anything you like to plug, promote, or shill for at this time?
No. Zero. Watch House Bunny. It's so I want everyone to see it.
I wonder if The Girls Next Door is streaming anywhere. Like, that could be a fun cultural artifact.
Oh.
That's got to be streaming somewhere.
Peacock?
Paramount
Hulu?
Plus?
Paramount Plus. They have everything.
Bravo? What was it?
It was E.
It was E.
Who knows where those E shows go? They just disappear into the ether. Is that why they call it that? Anyways.
Yes.
Thank you so much. So nice. Such so wonderful to be
so
here.
Nice.
So nice. Thank you so much. You're a treat, a dream, and
we'll be right back.
We're back. What a delight.
So much fun. I'm glad I finally, this is one of those movies, The House Bunny, where for a while I've been like, oh, I need to see that. And
you've
so I'm glad
to.
I finally got to had a reason to go see it.
There's too much content.
So much content out there, but this is worth checking out. If you haven't seen it, I think it's fun.
And I should say, like, it's getting, like, it's not as gay as Fifth Element, but it's a squeaker. Fifth Element has 77.80, House Bunny is 77.15.
Wow.
Little Mermaid, 77.02.
So we're really splitting hairs. And
we are splitting hairs. I think like once you're out of the top five, it's like anybody's game in some ways. Like Selma, it's like up to the wind.
Well, especially since we have over 100 movies now. So like, it's definitely going to be, you know what I mean? It's got to be. You got to split the hairs.
We got to split hairs. But no movies scored under 10%, under 16 yet. One day, maybe. The most repellent, awful, boring movie we've ever seen.
Something by Mel Gibson, perhaps.
Perhaps. Although they do, they probably have entrances with pizzazz.
Yeah.
That Apocalypto is pretty good. I hate to say it.
I haven't seen it. Which one's
pretty
that?
Pretty good. It's like the Aztec movie. It's just like a chase movie.
Oh, okay.
But it's like, well done. I'm sure it's like repugnant in many. I haven't seen it since. But I remember thinking like, oh, this is like exciting. Like the action was good. Axel Ridge. I saw that in the theater.
Well, that's on
you. I liked it.
Okay.
Sometimes awful people make good art. I hate to say it.
That is time and time again, history has proven that to be true.
And sometimes awful people make awful art, like Boat Trip.
Exactly.
As we've recently learned.
Well, we haven't learned yet. We haven't seen it yet.
True.
But what we have seen is an email from one of our listeners. How's that for a pivot?
Talk about pivots.
Okay, here we go. We got an email from Phil, and Phil, it is titled Fabulous Podcast, and Phil writes, hi guys, sending a huge hello from Swansea in Wales. An international
Wales.
Listener. I wish I could do an accent, but I won't.
Land of Catherine Zeta-Jones.
Indeed. And also, what's the other Welsh actor? Wasn't he the Phantom? The guy who was that?
Billy Zane?
Not Billy Zane. I mean the Phantom in the Phantom of the Opera, that Joel Schumacher movie that you love.
Gerard Butler?
Isn't he Welsh?
I have no idea.
I think he might
when
be.
You say the Phantom, I always
go to Billy Zane. I apologize. That's on me. I should have known better. That was my fault.
Audience.
I apologize. But Phil goes on, I just want to say a huge thank you for cheering up my night shifts as I'm listening to your podcast when in work. When in work, I guess that's the Welsh, how they say it. I've only discovered you guys a few weeks ago, and I've started from the very first episode, so I'm a bit behind. Recently, I finished the topsy-turvy episode, and during the cheerworthy cameo category, someone mentioned that as most of the actors are Brits, there may be cameos, but you might not realize it, and that the homeless woman could have been in Coronation Street, which I gasp at as I didn't realize that show that was shown in the States. So I got home from work, and I somehow, found a copy of A Quiet Place 2 online and put it on to see if the copy was good. And 5 minutes in, Emily Blunt's character hugs a random woman, and I gasped out loud and said, oh my God, as I realized that I recognized the woman. She used to be in Coronation Street. So a few hours after hearing you guys mention it, here were the cameo from someone in Coronation Street. I saw someone from Coronation Street doing
it's
a cameo.
It's spooky.
And I cheered. Well, it wasn't so much a cheer, but a gasp and an OMG. Sure. But how spooky is that?
That is eerie.
That's very spooky. Anyway, thank you for your fabulous podcast. You guys are so hilarious and entertaining, and all of the guests are great too. Thank you for reading this, and goodbye from this old Welsh queen.
Wow.
Well, thank you, Phil. Thank you, Phil.
Did Phil say what he does for a living?
He did not.
Because he works, I pictured him like in a morgue or something, like just like
you're working
the story
late at night.
Has like gothic trappings.
Exactly.
Do you see that Quiet Place too, though? Oof, what a stinker.
Yeah.
People like those movies. I think they're bad.
The first one I thought was okay.
It's fine.
But I don't feel any pressing
no,
need to go and
these
see
monsters
the
are apparently always like 10 yards away, just waiting for someone to make a sound. But you never like, no one ever comes upon them in like repose. You know what I mean? No one ever like finds them like not attacking you.
Well, that's because like if you got close, they would hear you.
Yeah, but wouldn't that make them more, but like, well, what are like, what if you could sneak up and like quietly? That must have happened at some point, not making a sound. You know what I mean? But they're always just 10 yards away, ready to, and all they do is punch you. Like, what do these monsters want? As an alien fan,
you are
the franchise,
a big alien fan, yeah.
That life cycle, their behavior makes sense. You know what I mean? They put a lot of work into like, this is how it functions, how it works. This Quiet Place monsters are just ding dongs.
Did you like the first one?
I thought it was a dumb movie that thought it was smart. I was like, oh, this should be more like Tremors. And just embrace the ridiculousness. Like, have fun with it. And why weren't they living at the waterfall?
That to me, I was just like, if that's where you can talk, then just live there.
Yeah, right. And also, then they are talking. No one says anything interesting.
You think you'd be sitting there thinking of interesting things you could say when you could finally talk. I can't wait to say this out loud.
Yeah, fine. I've been meaning to tell you my anecdote about this weird thing I saw at Jack in the Box.
I've been dying to tell you what happened to me today.
Yeah, Jesus. Nope. Just like, I'm worried. Yeah, no shit. Anyways,
thank you, Phil.
Email us.
Yes, thank you, Phil. We love hearing from you, especially our international, well, all of us, but international listeners. That's
it's fun
too.
That's yes. A particular tickle.
Exactly. You can email us. We love to hear from you guys at 20oldqueens, T-W-O, old queens, not the letter, not the number two, gmail.com. Again, we love to hear from you. What do you think? What do you think of the new scoring system? You like the little adjustments we made?
Yeah. What do you think of Quiet Place 2?
Yeah. Let us know what you think about that. Yeah.
You can follow us on Twitter and Instagram, also at 2oldqueens, T-W-O Old Queens. Follow me on Letterboxd, where I maintain the current movie rankings. And Gerard Butler is Scottish.
Okay.
Not Welsh.
Sorry. Well, thank you for correcting me. You also can support this podcast in a couple of ways. We have merch. If you go to TeePublic and search for 2oldqueens, we got a lot of fun stuff that you can buy. A lot of fun images and artwork by Mike Lloyd. You can put on a variety of different objects for yourself and for your loved ones. And a percentage of all the proceeds goes to the Okra Project. So you're not just buying merch, you are helping people out. And also we have a Patreon, 2oldqueens, the retirement plan. For just $5 a month, you get another episode every week where we talk about different movies and do more sort of focused projects that we're working on.
Focus projects.
Focus projects, which is what people love. Like right now we're starting our, it has been a full year of the Patreon. So we're starting our series of the Child's Play movies. So get on board for that.
We're going to find out which one is the gayest Chucky. Mm-hmm. And you've never seen any of them.
I have not seen any of the Chuckies. So it's quite a journey for me.
I hope. Yeah, I'm excited. I haven't seen any like the early ones in a very long time.
Gotcha.
So I'm excited. But that's it for now. We'll see you next week. What are we watching next week? No idea
yet, but you'll know.
We'll find out one day. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, stay safe, everybody. Thanks for listening. Goodbye.
Now it's time for credits. We got music by Danny Cohen.
Artwork by Conrad Shin.
And special thanks to Alex Arche and Mike Rennie.
Bye.
Bye. We didn't get that right.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to one full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full, important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.